Well, God bless you. We are back. Amen. We've been away for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. But we're back. We're back today, courtesy of the true and living God, to come and speak of the glory of God. Everything to the glory of God.
Yes.
Amen. If we live a life that just wants to glorify God, that's a successful life.
Yes.
Amen. I don't know what society defines as success, but for the child of God, success should be that my life brought glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want. We want to do that.
Amen.
But all the glory belongs unto Him, because He alone is worthy. And so today, as we talk about the glory of God, the goodness of God revealed in the earth, we're looking at Acts chapter 9. And we want to look at verses 26 and 27. The King James Version. It says this: "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him, and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus."
Yes.
Amen. Paul, or Saul at this point, he's still Saul, was a persecutor of the early church.
Yes.
And but he, on his way to Damascus, he was converted.
Yes.
But his reputation preceded him. And so now that he's now coming around the apostles, they're leery of him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, because they don't know if he's trying to deceive them so he could continue to carry out his persecution against the early church or not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But Barnabas spoke up for him.
Yes.
And Barnabas put in the word for him and said, no, he really has been converted. He's been speaking boldly in Damascus. And he really did meet Jesus in the way, and so on. And it's just a reminder to us of how God, through an expression of His goodness to us, will put people in our lives who will be supporters and help to us.
Yeah.
Amen. And we have them. And it's something that's good to know. Because one of the things the enemy wants to try to convince people of God at one point or another is that nobody cares, nobody likes you, nobody wants to talk to you, nobody wants to help you.
Right.
He wants you to believe you're all alone.
All alone.
But the goodness of God is such that what He said about Adam, it is not good that the man be alone.
That's right.
It's not something simply for marriage. It goes across the board. And because it's not good that man will be alone, that's why the devil's trying to tell you you're all alone. But that's also why God will see to it Himself that you're not going to be all alone. He'll give you a Barnabas.
That's right.
You know, He'll give you someone. He'll give you a Timothy.
Yeah.
You know, He'll give you someone who will be a help to you, a support to you, a mentor to you, something where you not only know that you're not alone, but you know that the goodness of God is coming into your life through that person.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. Very oftentimes we have people that, you know, come across our path that to support us, you know. Mm-hmm. And you can tell they're from God, because it's like they come at a time where God has spoken something to you that you need to do, and they'll come and they'll confirm what God has already said, you know, and they'll come with open hands, open arms, ready to help you in any way that they need to, so that you can do what God has called you to do, you know. And you're right, it's because the enemy is always trying to tell us that we're alone. And here's Saul, you know, he had to feel alone because he was on the opposite side, you know. And he comes, he's trying to get in the circle, and they're like,
That's
but then he has somebody, God sends Barnabas. No, he's been preaching, you know, so they had to receive him, you know. So, but if the enemy had, you know, won, and Saul could have got discouraged. He said, God don't want me to do this. Otherwise, they would receive me,
right.
You know. But here comes Barnabas, and Barnabas came and told them he was okay.
Right.
So God sent help.
That's right.
God does.
And that's what we need.
Mm-hmm.
And the blessing of it is we have that.
Yes.
The shame of it is we often don't recognize it.
Yes.
And we live as if God has left us alone.
Oh, Jesus.
And, you know, when we know that God has a Barnabas for us, He has a Timothy, He has a Jonathan for a David, when we understand that and believe, there's someone in my life who's like that.
Yes.
That's the only time you would begin to actively look around and see who that person is.
Yeah.
There are some people right now who are right next to you, who is your Barnabas, your Jonathan, or your Timothy, and you overlook them.
Yes. Yeah.
And you come to the false conclusion that you're by yourself.
Yeah.
And the prayer should be, God, open my eyes.
Yes.
That I may see the person or persons you have through your goodness led into my life.
Yes.
To be a help for such a time as this.
That's right. That's right. And you brought up mentor because it could be somebody who's mentoring you, like, you know, Elisha. I had Elijah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God always has somebody, you know, there for us to support us in whatever way possible. It could be a mentor, could be a teacher, it could be, you know, just somebody that works alongside with side by side with you, like Paul and Barnabas here.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, just it could be anybody, but we do need to ask God to open our eyes
that
we can identify those people because they're there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you find that there's somebody that, you know, is always there to support you, maybe that's the person that God has for you, you know, to help you to do what He has called you to do. We've all been, you know, God has planted something in each and every one of us, you know, but sometimes it takes that other person to bring it out of us, you know. I know that's true with me, you know. I need people to tell
me, right.
Okay, this is what
God
wants to, you know, to urge me on, to encourage me.
I mean, isn't that Barnabas part of his name? I mean, he's like the son of consolation.
Yes.
I mean,
he support,
right,
yes.
And support, he consoles and all that. And encourages.
Yes,
But as you were talking, you know, right now there's a husband who doesn't realize that his wife is there to help him.
Yeah.
And he thinks that he's in that nobody help, nobody understands, but you're overlooking your spouse.
Wow.
And that's what happens sometimes, that we... There's the people who are closer. They're right up under our noses. They're under our roof. And we just don't see it.
Yeah.
That's what's really interesting is, you know, and this happens a lot with spouses, both husbands and wives, where one is trying to help the other and is speaking words of life to the other spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't receive it. And yet they can go on a job or go to a, you know, go to a supermarket. They can turn on a TV, and somebody says the same thing, and they come back like their heart's on fire.
Right.
And yet you didn't realize that God had already spoken that to you 3 weeks prior, and you went through 3 weeks of hell because you didn't want to listen to the person that God, through His goodness, had placed right beside you. And it's so tragic. It's so unnecessary. That's why we don't want to overlook those in our immediate circle. You know what I mean? Because that person could already be there.
Right.
Now, sometimes God has that person on the way.
Right. Yes.
But I believe many times the person is already there.
Right.
And he or she's already offered help.
Yes.
And you don't want to receive. And we've all been there, so this is not accusatory, right? When I say you don't want to receive, it's just generally speaking.
Yeah, just general.
Right? And yet, we are frustrating the grace of God. That's what Paul said. He said, I will not frustrate
the grace of God.
Grace of God.
Amen.
But we're frustrating the grace of God.
Amen.
We're frustrating that unmerited favor and the display of His goodness and His power in our life because somehow we think we know better.
Oh gosh.
We know. There's nobody here to help me. There's nobody here to listen to me. There's nobody here to support me.
Nobody understands. Yes, there is somebody that understands.
Yes.
Yes, there is. And Jesus understands, first of all. But God has put somebody in your life that may already be there. And they understand. And they'll be able to tell you that they understand if you can see them.
Amen. And God put a word in their mouth.
Yes. Yes, because that's what he does, because he equips. So, God, if you're looking for an answer to something, God has placed it in the mouth of that person that's supposed to support you. Amen. And they'll give you the answer. That's why when somebody tells you things, it comes to life for you, you know, because God has put it in their mouth to tell you. That's why we need each other. We're not alone.
Right. That's
not alone. And you can't stay alone, because that's not where you're supposed to be.
No, not at all. And so we thank God for his goodness in that way. He doesn't leave us. I mean, and that's really, you know, we see the heart of Jesus before he, you know, before he ascended to the Father. You know, in fact, before he even went to the cross. But he said, you know, I will not leave you comfortless.
That's right. Right? Amen.
That's the heart of God right there. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you to be an orphan. You know, I'm not going to leave you that way.
Right.
But if I go, I'm sending someone.
Amen.
And that's the thing. God will always send someone. He sends the Holy Spirit to all of us, but then there are people that God will send and has already sent into our lives to help us in this season that we're in.
Amen.
And, you know, you said something earlier. You just don't... You're not meant to go at it alone.
Right.
You shouldn't go at it alone.
Even the single, you know, the single moms, you know, just thinking about our daughter. God can put his word in your son's mouth, in your child's mouth. So don't just disregard anybody that God's, you know, that comes across your path, because that could be your Barnabas. That could be your support. That could be the person that's standing up for you or encouraging you or speaking on your behalf. No, she's not like that. No, he's not like that. I know this person. I've seen them do this.
Amen.
They follow after the Lord. No. So don't disregard, you know, people that's there in your life or the people that are to come.
That's right.
That come across your path.
Right. I mean, for those who need a job, God's going to have someone put in a good word.
Yes. Amen.
You know, for those, you know, who need to or are looking to try to get their child in a certain school, someone is going to write the best recommendation letter you've ever seen.
Amen. Yes.
But you have to believe that.
Yes.
You have to believe on the goodness of God, right? I have fainted unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You got to believe to see it.
Amen.
But again, if the enemy can have his way and get us to believe and twist us to believe that we're alone, that nobody cares, and all the rest of that stuff, then we won't be believing to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and we will faint. Because that's what David said. I would have fainted if I had not
believed. Amen.
Right? So what can keep you from fainting is our belief that we're going to see the goodness of God.
Yeah.
God's going to show up. He's going to send a Barnabas my way. He's going to send someone my way who can be a source of encouragement and consolation, assistance and help. And I believe that. And because you believe it, you'll see it.
That's right. We have to keep believing it. And we will see it. And even those things that, you know, sometimes we say, oh, God's not speaking. God's not speaking.
Mm-hmm.
God is always speaking. And sometimes he speaks to other people. So we have to open up our ears, open up our hearts, believe to see God's goodness, because God is good and he wants everything to work out for your good. So even if it comes, you know, on behalf of somebody else. So just believe that, and then God, you'll hear from God, you'll see God, you know, in the life of your support.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we're praying that someone's encouraged today.
Amen.
To now actively seek God and his wisdom. To find that person who may be in your life already that God has sent to be of help to you.
Yes.
Somebody needs a prayer. Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see.
Amen.
Every open eye don't see.
That's right. That's
right? So pray, open my eyes that I may see who this person is. And if the person's not there yet, God help me to recognize him or her immediately when
that's
they
right.
come across my
Amen.
Path.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Because that then you will be standing in that belief of seeing the goodness of God, and you will stay in a state of expectation of the revelation of God's
right.
goodness,
mm-hmm.
which is a far better place to be than to be deceived and convinced that you're alone.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Far better place to be, and that's the place God wants you to be. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So we praise the Lord for it.
Yes. Amen.
Praise God. So we're going to go up and get on up out of here. Amen. And we're praying that God will see you next week.
Yes.
Amen. God is good. So we are expecting it, excited about it. Amen.
Amen.
So until next time, you be encouraged. Amen.
Yes.
We pray that you be encouraged. And if you need prayer, send your prayer request to us. Amen. Men ought always to pray, not to faint. We pray without ceasing. Amen. We want to pray. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of righteous man availeth much. Amen.
It's tremendous power available.
Amen.
I like that version.
Amen. Praise God. And so until next time, you remember that Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
And he loves you.
Yes.
And his love
never fails.
Amen. Oh,